Mishnah Yomis for Thursday, the 23rd day of Menachem Av, Tovshin Pei Gimel. Masechta Beya, Perek Chamishi, Mishnah Shvi, and the last Mishnah of the Masechta. Mishnah Zimenetz Layorchim, person who invited guests from another city, and the city is outside the Eruv of this city, of the host, but the people who are invited have made an Erev. Lo yilichu biyodam onos. They cannot carry back to their city portions of the food that they've been served in that city when they come back on Yom Tov. Why is that? Because the portions of food which were given by the owner, the host, can only be carried as far as the host can walk. And he didn't make an Erev to go to the city of the Orchim, of the guests. Elohim Cain, says the Mishnah, unless Zika Lahem Monoseyam Erev Yom Tov, unless he gave them the portions on Erev Yom Tov, he allocated it to them. How did he do that? He took a person and he said to someone else, on Erev Yom Tov, please be Zoicha, lift up these portions, drag these portions or move them, and for Beryl and Shmuel who are coming tomorrow from the for Yom Tov. Because you can do this, you can make what's called a zechus, zochin la'odam shalei b'fonav. You can do a zechus for a person even if not in their presence. And then what happens is those guests from in that other city have immediately acquired the portions on Erev Yom Tov, and therefore now the guests can carry those portions or any leftover back to their home, back to their city, because where they can walk because they made an Erev. Ein mashkin v'shoichet in esamid borios. One is not allowed to give to drink and or slaughter the desert, literally the desert animals. Or these are animals, on Yom Tov, that is. Why? Because they're not mukhan. They're not prepared. The Gemara explains that Mishnah mentions two things, giving him to drink and also slaughtering them, to tell us that's what they used to do. They used to give the animals to drink close to being shechted so that it would be easier to strip the skin, the hide. Others, Meforshim, learn that the hashkod, the giving to drink before the shechita, actually helps to remove lesions or small lesions that are found on the lung. Avol mashkin v'shoichet in esab bayosos, but one can give to drink and slaughter the bayosos, the domestic animals, on Yom Tov. Elohena bayosos, how do we define what's called domestic? Halonos bo'ir, those that stay overnight back in the city. These are animals that all day they've been grazing out in the pasture, and at the end of the day they come back within the tum of the city. They are called mechonos. They are called prepared. They're called readied, and therefore one is allowed to shecht them on Yom Tov. Midborios, how do you define desert animals? These are the ones which are not domesticated. These are halonos ba'afar. These are the animals that stay in the meadow, outside the outside the tchum of the city. They are therefore really muktzah. They cannot be taken and slaughtered Yom Tov because the owners would not even have them in mind to use them for shechita, and therefore one cannot shecht with them in Yom Tov. Slik mesachta spitzabeya, that's the Hadron Loch, that's the mesachta of Beya, and we start now the new mesachta of Rosh Hashanah. There are four chapters in mesachta Rosh Hashanah. The first two deal with Kiddush HaChodesh, sanctifying the moon, or the sanctifying the month, Kiddush HaChodesh. And the last two chapters of Rosh Hashanah talk more about Tkiyas Shofar and Rosh Hashanah and the dinim of the brachos, of the tefillah, the special musaf Shem Nesra, and mitzvahs that relate to those. However, in the beginning of our Masechta, we're going to have an introduction about the four Rosh Hashanahs and four times a year that the world is judged. This is an introduction to the matters that we're going to discuss. Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Perek Rishon, Mishnah Aleph. Arba Rosh Hashanim Hay. There are four times a year which are called a Rosh Hashanah for various things, each one for their own halachas. Be'echad Benisan Rosh Hashanah Lamlochim. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the first of the year, is called the Rosh Hashanah for kings. Now we're talking about Jewish kings here. When we want to mark a date and say, what year of the reign of this king is it? We'd look and say, well, what month is it? Is it after Nisan or before Nisan? Because the first of Nisan marks a new year. So if, let's say, a king was crowned in the month of Adar, when it comes to the month of Nisan, it would already be started to be called, we would start to call it the second year of the reign. And the Gemara learns from Psukim how we learn this out from the Shlomo HaMelech. Why is it important to know when or what year of the reign it is? The reason is because a shtar, for a document that is a loan document, carries with it a shibud, a mortgage on it. The properties of the borrower become mortgaged to the lender. And if after the date of the loan, the borrower has sold his properties to another person, and now the lender wants to come and collect the money from the borrower, but he's got nothing to pay, then the lender has the ability to collect his debt from the fields that have already been sold to other people. We call them nechosim shabodim. But it can only be collected from properties that were sold after the date of the loan. However, if a shtar, if a document that had an earlier date written, for example, he lent the money in Shvat, but the date, the shtar, the loan document is dated Kislev, that the loan took place in Kislev, that's called a shtar muktam. It's called a predated shtar, and it's possible. Why is it possible? Because since the lender is able to come with this shtar, with this document, and collect it illegally from properties that the borrower had sold before the time of Halvah, therefore the Chachamim made a knas, a penalty, and they said he's not zoicha at all, he has no right to collect with this shtar from the lekuchos, from the buyers, and even from properties that were sold after the time of the borrowing. Therefore, if a king has been, as we said before, has been crowned in Adar, and Nisan, 13 months later, it's written the second year of the king, really, this Nisan is really the third year of the king. That would be a shtar muktam. It would be a predated shtar and possible because it gives an illegal right to the lender to collect from properties too early, sold that were really sold before the loan even took place, and he can't do that. What's the second thing that the first of Nisan acts as a Rosh Hashanah for? V'liragolim. And another thing that the first of Nisan is a Rosh Hashanah for is to mark the Rosh Hashanah of festivals of Yom Tovim. What does that mean? Chag HaPesach is in Chodesh Nisan. That's the first Yom Tov in the year. And the regolim, the are mentioned in that order. B'chag HaMatzos, B'chag HaShavuos, V'chag HaSukkos. And we are saying here that the first of Nisan is the beginning of the Rosh Hashanah for Yom Tov, and we start counting them in that order. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. Why is that relevant? What halacha does that has relevance to? Well, there is a halacha about making a neder. And the Torah says, when you make a neder, you vow to bring a korban to Hashem, you shall not delay in bringing it, in paying that neder. And there is a machlekes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon on this. The Chachamim hold that once three Yom Tovim have passed, since you've made that vow and you have not kept it, you have overed, you have violated Loisa Acher, do not delay. Rabbi Shimon, and it makes no difference what order it was. There's no difference. Rabbi Shimon, however, holds that the three Yom Tovim have to pass in that order. Chag HaMatzos first, then Chag HaShavuos, then Chag HaSukkos. So, for example, if he made the vow to bring a korban between Pesach and Shavuos, when would he violate a vow? Only after five Yom Tovim. He'd have to wait till Shavuos, Sukkos, and then begin the order, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos again, and then he would be over. Because there is an order, according to Rabbi Shimon, the three Yom Tovim have to pass by his vow in that order. And how do we know when to start it? Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So therefore, this statement of our Mishnah, of the Rosh Hashanah L'Regolim being a first of Nisan, is only according to Rabbi Shimon. And the halacha is in fact not like Rabbi Shemna, but like the Chachamim, and therefore, as far as the halacha is concerned, it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Rosh Chodesh only as far as the kings are concerned. The Gemara brings other halachas that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Rosh Hashanah for, but we'll leave that. Be'echod Be'elul, the first Chodesh Elul, is Rosh Hashanah L'masa Behemah. That's the Rosh Hashanah as far as the tithing of the animals. The Torah says that all the newly born animals, every year, they have to pass through under the stick, and the tenth one is Kodesh, and you mark it as such, but you can only take a Maaser, you can only tithe the animals from in the year that they're born. So I cannot take an animal that's born in one year for animals that are born another year. How do we measure? What's the demarcation? So our mission is telling us all animals born before Rosh Chodesh Elul belong to the previous year. Elul, those born after Rosh Chodesh Elul, belong to the next year. The Gemara learns this from the Pasuk, Aser Taser, you shall surely tithe, is Kol Tzva Zeracha Shona Shona. Aser Taser, the double expression, say the Chachamim, they learn that it means two different maases, two different tithes, whether it's of grain, Masa Dagan, whether it's Masa Behema, taking a tenth of your animals. In each case, you cannot take from one year to another year. And here, a Mishnah tells us that the first of all is Rosh Hashanah for Masa Behema, because most animals were born already by the month of Av. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, they say no. They say Be'echad B'Tishrei. They say that the first of Tishrei is the demarcation between years for Maaser Behemah. Why? Because they say the Torah compares the two Maasers together, the Maaser of animals to the Maaser of grain, of Dagon. Just like the Maaser Dagon, though Rosh Hashanah is Tishrei, and everybody agrees to that, so also the Maaser Behemah, Rosh Hashanah will be the first of Tishrei. However, as we said before, the Chachamim argues, they hold that it's first of Elul. And what's the reason? The Chachamim say, yes, we compare Maaser Behemah to Maaser Dagon, but only in the following way. Just like the Maaser Dagon, the grain, Somuch Legomri Yisurei, that just before it becomes finished, ready for taking, Yisurei, that's when it's finished, it's in its production, that's when you take Maaser, because all summer the grain was out there in the fields, in the threshing floor, drying out, and in the first of Tishrei they gather it in. So too, in the beginning of Tishrei they bring it in. So too with Maaser Behemah, close to the end of it, you take the Surah, close to the end of the production of the animals, of the children being born of these animals, the baby animals, that's when you take the Maaser. And since most animals have given birth by Rosh Chodesh Elul, therefore, that's when we take the Maaser. Somuch Legomrei Yisurei. Be'echad B'Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah Lashonim. Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for years. Now, what does that mean? The Gemara explains here we're talking about the years of the non-Jewish kings. And that's how most Mepharshim of the Mishnah learn that when a king has been crowned, King Edward or whatever has been crowned, let's say, on the first of Elul, then when the first of Tishrei comes, even though 1 month has only passed, by the first of Tishrei we call already the second year of that king. There are other Mepharshim learn differently. In the Gemara, they say it means as far as the Tukufa is concerned, Tukufa of the sun and the moon, and that means the first of Rosh Hashanah of Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for counting of the years as we count today. Others learn also further that it means Rosh Hashanah for Din, for as far as judging the world. V'la Shmitin, and for the year of Shmita. That means that when you want to know when is the holiness of the Shemitah year start, from the beginning of Tishrei, it's forbidden to plough, to sow. V'layovlois, and as far as the Jubilee year, where you're also not allowed to work the land, that begins also the first of Tishrei. Lanatio, first of Tishrei is also Rosh Hashanah for planting, which means as far as calculating the years of Orla, the forbidden fruits of a tree in the first 3 years. And what it means is as follows. If a person plants a tree on the 16th day of Av. The 16th day of Av is 44 days before Rosh Hashanah, before Echad Tishrei. Why is it 44 days? Because it takes 2 weeks for the plant to be the seed to be absorbed in the ground. It takes 30 days after the klita, after the absorption, to be considered a year. You need 30 days to be considered a year. So 30 plus 14 is 44. But after those 44 days, if you've planted it 44 days before Rosh Hashanah, then on the 1st of Tishrei, it'll be considered already now the second year of the tree's growth, even though technically only 44 days has passed. The next Tishrei will then be considered the third year of the tree's growth. However, by the fourth year, beginning of the third year, by the next Tishrei, that's the year, the Tishrei of the fourth year, the fruits are still osabanah, you cannot have benefit, it's still called arla. You've got to wait until Chamisha Sar B'Shvat, until the 15th day of Shvat, as we'll soon see, that's a Rosh Hashanah for trees. But as far as plantation is concerned, when do we start counting? The new year, it's Rosh Hashanah, as long as the seeds or the sapling or the seeds have been planted 44 days before it. So 44 days before Rosh Hashanah is planted, when Rosh Hashanah comes, new year. It's considered now the second year. V'layarokos. And a further halacha that Rosh Echad B'Tishrei has relevance to, and that is as far as taking ma'aser of vegetables. You cannot take ma'aser from vegetables that have been picked before Tishrei for vegetables that were picked after Tishrei. And now we come to the fourth Rosh Hashanah. Be'echad B'Shvat. There's machlokes on this fourth one again. Be'echad B'Shvat Rosh Hashanah la'ilan k'dibur b'shamay. On the Rosh Chodesh Shvat, it's Rosh Hashanah for trees, as far as b'shamay hold. When it comes to trees, we look at when did the tree start to bud? When did the fruit start to bud? And any fruits that budded before Rosh Chodesh Shvat cannot be taken as ma'aser for fruits that budded after the first of Shvat. So also as far as Masa Sheni is concerned and Masa Oni, if fruits budded in the beginning of the third year of the Shemitah cycle, before Shvat, even though they're picked after Shvat, we treat them as fruits of the second year of Shemitah. And the laws of Masa Sheni will apply. If fruits, however, that budded after Shvat, from Shvat and onwards, they will be considered the third year of the Shemitah cycle fruit, and therefore there is the din of Maaser Oni, which replaces Maaser Sheni. Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel say no. They say V'chamisha Sabai. They say it's not Rosh Chodesh Shvat, that's Rosh Hashanah, they say it's the 15th day of Shvat. The reason that Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan was made, the Rosh Hashanah for trees, is in Shvat. The Gemara explains it's because most of the rains of the year have already finished, and now there's a lot of sap in the trees, and the fruits are now budding from this point, because the sap has now come into the trees. Some explain the reason for Beis Hillel, why they say the 15th day of Shvat, is because it's the middle point between the Tkufa, the period of Teves, and the period, the Kufa of Nisan, as we call it. And since once the half of the Tkufas Tevis has passed, it's already got now, it's weakened, that the strength of the winter, the cold is not so strong anymore, and it allows the budding to get stronger. So we still say the 15th day of Shvat is the point at which we look, when did the fruits bud, beforehand or afterwards?